take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
CannabisRadio.com presents The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hey, this is great, man. Well, on the
earth. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Wednesday, August 24th, 2016, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the middle of the week. And today for the show, we've got kind of a special theme. You know, all week we've been bringing you the highlights from Seattle Hemp Fest, the 25th anniversary that took place this last weekend. And today we've got more highlights that that focus on two subjects, industrial hemp and running for office. There were three different politicians from New Hampshire, Montana, and Washington State, two of them who are dyed-in-the-wool marijuana activists that spoke at the Seattle Hemp Fest. We're going to bring you all of their speeches today. We'll have Carrie Boyder, who was a medical marijuana activist in Washington State, a native of Montana who has gone back to Montana. She's running for state office there. Then we'll hear from New Hampshire State Senate candidate Roger Tilton. And at the end of our show, our first hour, we'll hear from Stephanie Hart Viskovich, who's running for Washington State Senate. And in the middle of hour one, since it is Wednesday, we will get our Hemp Day Hump Day update with Doug Fine, the organic cowboy on Twitter and the author of Too High to Fail and Hemp Bound. He'll call in halfway through and we'll find out what's going on all across this nation as more and more states are planting and sowing industrial hemp. In hour two, we've got more for you from Seattle Hemp Fest, including Jeff Eichen. He's a filmmaker behind the movie Lifers, the movie, talking about marijuana prisoners serving life in prison. We spoke to him backstage at a noisy Sealy stage. And for our 20 after break, we'll bring you more music from the Seattle Hemp Fest featuring a Seattle, Washington band called the Furniture Girls and their cover of an 80s song that you'll recognize. And then at about half past in hour two, we'll speak with Joy Beckerman. She was a winner of a special regional activism award from Seattle Hemp Fest this year for her efforts in getting Washington State's industrial hemp law passed. Yeah, can you believe that? Washington State legalized recreational marijuana before they legalized industrial hemp. And it's an interesting conversation about some of the weird conflicts in those laws in Washington State. So stay tuned for that in hour two. Also in hour two, we ran into my mentor, Madeline Martinez, the woman that brought me into marijuana activism. We'll find out what's going on with her since the demise of the world-famous Cannabis Cafe in Portland, Oregon. We've got all that coming up. Plus, we start, of course, with the Cannabis Radio News. And in the headlines today, we've got good and bad news from all across the United States. We'll fill you in on that 10th Circuit Court of Appeals decision out of Kansas. We briefly mentioned it at the beginning of yesterday's show. We've got medical marijuana likely to make the ballot in Oklahoma. We've got another medical marijuana likely to make the ballot in Arkansas. We've got good news coming out of Montana with regard to the repeal of medical marijuana in that state. And in Michigan, unfortunately, bad news for the people trying to legalize marijuana in Michigan. All that coming up on the Russ Belville Show. Thanks for being here. Be right back in a couple minutes.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Cannabis use isn't the only thing growing. So are we. Grow with us. CannabisRadio.com.
Oh, let the marijuana llama tell you something now. About a game for your phone, gonna make you say, wow! The game's about the game of growing cannabis for cash. Grow the seed, sell the bud, put the savings in the stash. Little by little, your empire grows large. Put different celebrities inside your entourage. You can choose to play with Snoop or me or Cheech and Chong. Cypress Hill, Willie Nelson, Wiz Khalifa with a bong. The name of the game is Hemping, that's the point. Download and play while you light yourself a joint. The business of cannabis should be no crime. Hemp Inc. is even hot-proofed by the man who run High Times. Oh, yeah? Get it on Android and iOS today. Marijuana Llama out. Got to tend to me own crops, you know? Money don't make itself. Hemp Inc.
Previously on the Stoner Jesus Show.
St. Peter auditioning to be the Microsoft weed software spokesman.
Hey, this is St. Peter for Microsoft. They track weed. Does that mean they're going to, like, track the weed? Is that what this is about, Jesus? I'm not going to be tracked, Jesus. I'm not going to have my fucking weed tracked. And I'm not going to have fucking Microsoft track me back to my fucking house through my weed to where they fucking spied on people with that goddamn Xbox camera. Fuck this. Fuck Microsoft. Fuck this bullshit.
The Stoner Jesus Show, live Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Or find the Stoner Jesus Show podcast on demand at CannabisRadio.com and StonerJesus.net.
Peace, bitches.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, firedublawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired-up lawyer, or email firedublawyer@gmail.com.
It's time for the Cannabis Radio News. Covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Cannabis Radio News is now available exclusively at CannabisRadio.com. Now your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. This is Cannabis Radio News.
This is your Cannabis Radio News for Wednesday, August 24th, 2016. Wichita, Kansas. Law enforcement officials in Kansas cannot stop and search motorists just for having out-of-state license plates from states that have legalized marijuana, a federal appeals court ruled Tuesday. The 10th Circuit Court of Appeals reinstated a lawsuit filed by a Colorado motorist, Peter Vasquez, against two Kansas Highway Patrol officers who pulled him over and searched his vehicle as he was driving alone at night through Kansas on his way to Maryland. The officers contended that they were justified in searching the vehicle because Vasquez was a citizen of Colorado driving on Interstate 70, a, quote, known drug corridor, end quote, in a recently purchased older model car. They said he also seemed nervous. A divided panel found the officers violated Vasquez's Fourth Amendment rights in searching his car without his consent. Nothing illegal was found. The officer's reasoning would justify the search and seizure of citizens of half of the states in the country, the court said, adding it is, quote, wholly improper, end quote, to assume someone is more likely to commit a crime because of his state of residence. Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Secretary of State Chris Bengey's office has finished counting the signatures on a petition drive to put Oklahoma medical marijuana legalization before voters. Bengey announced Tuesday that 67,761 signatures were counted, surpassing the 65,987 signatures of registered voters needed to put the issue on an election ballot by fewer than 2,000 signatures. The Secretary of State's office will now send a report on its findings to the Oklahoma Supreme Court, which determines whether the number of signatures is sufficient to put the question on the ballot. If approved, doctors would be able to recommend a patient at least 25 years old for a state-issued medical marijuana license, allowing them to use marijuana and possess up to 3 ounces, 6 mature plants, and 6 seedlings. Little Rock, Arkansas. Supporters of a plan to legalize medical marijuana in Arkansas turned in additional signatures Friday in hopes of qualifying for the November ballot. If enough signatures are validated, the proposal from Arkansans United for Medical Marijuana will be the second medical marijuana measure on the general election ballot this year. The group needs 84,859 valid signatures to make it onto the ballot. And Secretary of State Mark Martin's office has already verified 72,309 signatures. The proposal sponsor, David Couch, said he turned in additional 34,804 signatures Friday and that he's confident the measure will qualify for a public vote. The proposed constitutional amendment would allow patients with certain medical conditions and a doctor's recommendation to buy marijuana from dispensaries. Arkansas voters narrowly rejected a medical marijuana proposal in 2012, but Couch said he believes voters are more open to the idea of legalizing medical marijuana than they were 4 years ago. Helena, Montana. The sponsor of a proposed initiative to repeal Montana's medical marijuana law said Wednesday he won't appeal a judge's refusal to place the measure on November's ballot, but instead will focus on defeating a separate initiative to expand medical pot distribution. Billings car dealer Steve Zabawa told the Associated Press in an interview that there isn't enough time for him to appeal to the Montana Supreme Court before Secretary of State Linda McCulloch's office certifies the ballots and sends them for printing. Instead, he said his Safe Montana group will focus on defeating I-182, a ballot measure that would ease restrictions on medical marijuana distribution. Zabawa made the comments a day after District Judge Heidi Ulbricht denied his request to intervene and order McCulloch to place his initiative on the ballot. The initiative fell more than 4,100 signatures short of qualifying. Zabawa claimed thousands of signatures gathered for the measure had been lost or improperly invalidated. Lansing, Michigan. A group trying to legalize the recreational use of marijuana in Michigan has failed to persuade a judge to put the question on the fall ballot. Court of Claims Judge Stephen Borello said Tuesday there's nothing unconstitutional about a time limit on petition signatures. A group called the Michigan Comprehensive Cannabis Law Reform Committee submitted 354,000 signatures, apparently enough to get marijuana on the ballot. But the Board of State Canvassers in June said more than 200,000 were collected outside a 180-day period, a decision that left the group short of enough names. The judge says the Secretary of State's office and other defendants have no clear legal duty to count the stale signatures. This has been your Cannabis Radio News for Wednesday, August 24th, 2016. I'm Russ Belville.
We don't limit how much you smoke, and we don't limit where you listen. Cannabis Radio is now on iTunes, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio.
Cash?
Sorry.
I don't carry around cash, and I don't want to use the ATM and pay surcharges.
You don't need to carry cash. Haven't you heard about PayQuick?
Okay, tell me about PayQuick.
It's the safe and easy way to pay. It works just like your debit card to securely pay for your purchase, and it gives you rewards points every time you use it.
Nice.
PayQuick, the safe and easy way to pay. PayQuick.com.
The political climate is at a fever pitch, and the fight for the social fabric of America is set for battle this November. Tuesday, November 8th, the Cannabis Liberation Movement takes a huge step forward. And Cannabis Radio is here to chronicle this legendary moment. CannabisRadio.com and the Cannabis Radio News team will feature wall-to-wall live coverage of all the coast-to-coast voting of state amendments, ballots, propositions, and initiatives that will further progress the Cannabis Crusade. Join us November 8th for Vote 2016, the path to cannabis freedom, only on CannabisRadio.com.
The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at HerbiesHeadShop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs, and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics, Herbie Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie Seeds at HerbiesHeadShop.com. Proud sponsors of The Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
Reforming America's marijuana prohibition laws takes education, lobbying, and voting. From Washington, D.C. to your state capitol to your city hall, marijuana law reform involves all levels of civic life. Learn how you can make your impact with elected officials as we take a look at our government at work.
Could go back to Seattle Hemp Fest, where Carrie Boyder takes the main stage.
Carrie Boyder is a longtime criminal justice reform advocate, a member of the Seattle Hemp Fest Speakers Committee, and the Democratic nominee for the Montana legislature in House District 44, putting her walk where her talk is. Give it up for Carrie Boyder!
Give it up for Seattle Hemp Fest, 25 years. Woo! Thank you, Vivian. Thank you to the volunteers. Thank you to Danica for that awesome introduction. Couldn't have asked for better. I'm Carrie Boyder. I am a homegrown Montana girl, and I am running for the Montana legislature in House District 44. As Vivian mentioned, I'm a long-time criminal justice reform advocate. I've done grassroots organizing. I've been a policy analyst. And most importantly to me, I've been an advocate for federal defendants who are facing lengthy mandatory minimum sentences for being state legal cannabis providers. That's kind of how I got my start in activism. And the reason why I'm up here speaking is because I'm running in a battleground state in Montana. And right now, actually on August 31st, 12 days from now, they're about to implement restrictions that were put into place by the 2011 legislature, but have been put on hold for 5 years. We fought in the courts to try to keep them from taking effect. And these restrictions would make it so that a caregiver can only provide for two patients, and so that doctors who recommend to patients with 25 or more recommendations a year would be automatically investigated by the Board of Medical Examiners. And so we have a ballot initiative that's made it, and it will be up for a vote again November 8th, even though we've passed medical marijuana by an overwhelming 62% of the vote in 2006. It's going to go up for a vote again, and so what's going to happen is, even if we pass this law, we're going to have this big gap between August 31st and November 8th, where we're not going to have any access. It's all going to be dismantled. And even if we pass the ballot in November, we could be looking at the same situation with the same legislature who's about to wipe out medical for good. And so that's why I decided to take a step up and run for the legislature myself and make sure that some of the conversations that we're having are just a little bit more sane. You know, another big thing that's going on in Montana, we have a private prison. How many of you heard about the DOJ decision to stop using private prisons that came out yesterday? Huge, huge, huge victory. But we need the states to stop using those private prisons. And in Montana, we have a private prison in Shelby where a state legal medical marijuana provider, the very first registered caregiver in our state, as a matter of fact, went to serve a 5-year mandatory minimum sentence for marijuana, and he made it 4 months before he died from neglect in that private prison in Montana. And so it's been my goal from when I found out to shut this place down. And as it turns out, their contract is up for renewal for the first time in 20 years in the 2017 legislature. That's why I'm running for office. And I'm running for office so that we can devote resources currently being spent on prisoners, $24,000 a year to incarcerate someone, towards community mental health outcomes and addiction treatment, things that are proven to work for people who actually have serious problems. And so really what's important is that these are citizen legislatures, whether it's Congress or it's your state legislature. These are everyday people that are supposed to make up these legislatures. And what's happened is that over the years, big money has gotten involved, and all of a sudden it's not really a democracy anymore. And part of that is on us. If we're not really willing to step up and run for these offices, how can we expect good representation? So I really encourage you to think about how you can get involved, whether it's running for office yourself, whether it's volunteering for campaigns of candidates that identify with your values, whether it's giving $10, whatever you can to help those people get elected. You know, in my case, I'm not going to get any money from police. I'm not going to get any money from prisons. Big Oil is not going to be funding my campaign, surprise. So I'm really relying on grassroots support, particularly of the cannabis community, my friends, my people, my family here at HempFest, to get me elected. And even if you can't give money, you can give time, you can make phone calls from anywhere in the country to help me get elected. You can go to my Facebook page, Friends of Carrie Boyder, like that page, share those posts, help me spread the message far and wide. The more people I have there, the more my opponent sees that this is a network of people who back me up and maybe he should just go on home. You can also endorse my campaign. you can give to Hemp Fest. This place is a very unique place where people are able to speak freely about their values. I wouldn't have the experience I have to run for office without what I've done for Hemp Fest and without the support of these people. So give money in the donation buckets. This is a unique place, and it's been 25 years, and we got 25 years more to go before we have everything we want in policy. So thank you all for your time. Thank you for coming to Hemp Fest. Have a great time.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two and didn't inhale.
Welcome back, everybody. It's 20 after the hour, and that means it's time for us to take our break. While we do that, we remind you the words of Carrie Boyder that if you can step up and run for office, you got a network of cannabis consumers who are going to stand behind you and support you all the way. Let's get more of our people into office. Get some sensible marijuana policies in this country. We're back with New Hampshire State Senate candidate Roger Tilton.
Maui Wowie. Acapulco Gold. California Kush. Our strain stretch everywhere, too.
This is the Cannabis Radio Network.
The next generation of vaporizers has arrived. Vuber vaporizers are blazing the way with unparalleled technology for oil, concentrate, or dry flower pens. Providing unsurpassed customer service and expert craftsmanship, Vuber vaporizers use cutting-edge technology, providing a power-packed, smoother vapor with a lifetime guarantee. Experience vaporizing the way it was meant to be, the Vuber way.
Growing green to generate more green.
Talking with multi-cup award winner Maya Elizabeth.
The Grow Show with Kyle Cushman.
I've always followed Whoopi, and I think she's fantastic. I've followed her advocacy over the years. Tell me a little bit how you think partnering with a mainstream high-profile figure actually benefits the cannabis community as a whole.
I have infinite respect for Whoopi Goldberg. I wouldn't just partner with any into that kind of thing. I'm into cannabis medicine, and I'm into making quality products that people can find relief from. So to hear that her vision was actually the same, it's been beyond a dream to manifest.
The Grow Show with Kyle Cushman, only on CannabisRadio.com.
The Russ Belville Show. Chat is for friends 18 and older. We expect our chat to be civil, mature, and free from excessive profanity. If you don't like these rules, there are approximately 6 billion other chat rooms with lower standards that you can visit.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
Reforming America's marijuana prohibition laws takes education, lobbying, and voting. From Washington, D.C. to your state capitol to your city hall, marijuana law reform involves all levels of civic life. Learn how you can make your impact with elected officials as we take a look at our government at work.
More highlights from the Seattle Hemp Fest with New Hampshire State Senate candidate Roger Tilton.
Thank you. Who's paying attention today? Who's paying attention? All the way down to the main stage. Who's paying attention? Look at that. That's the classic sign he was talking about. Here's what happened and why I'm here today. On that sign, you see that bright green leaf? I'm a Democrat. I live in New Hampshire. I live in a very Republican district. Democrats don't run candidates for state senate in that district. And I said, wait a second. This is America, right? We don't leave blank spots on the ballot. If we want to make change, what do we got to do? You know what you have to do. You've done it. You're the embodiment of acting up. You're the embodiment of acting up. Look what's happened. HempFest is 25 years old, and now you can legally use cannabis in the state of Washington. Great job! And you did it. You acted up. You signed a petition. The petitions were verified. It went on the ballot. You voted for it. It became law. Good for you. Yeah. But what about some of these other states like New Hampshire? We don't have a citizens initiative. We can't sign petitions to make or change laws. We actually have to do something. We have to run for office. So I said to that state party chairman, if you don't have a candidate, I'll put my name on the ballot. Of course, I think once I said I'll put my name on the ballot, he stopped looking for a candidate. And then it got to Labor Day, and we're 8 weeks from Election Day, and I thought, wow, I'm running against an incumbent Republican in a very Republican district, a district a Democrat has not won in the 240 years of New Hampshire. So I have nothing to lose. I've worked in Seattle a lot. I've watched the industry grow. I see how it has taken hold. And pretty much everybody's happy. You down there on the trail, are you happy that HempFest is here?
Yeah.
Then put a $2 bill in the box or a $5 bill. Okay, so I'm on the ballot. I've got this sign. I'm running for office. Of course, I still lose, but I did get 41% of the vote, which was pretty incredible for a Democrat in an 8-week campaign. So now I'm doing it again. I'm running again, and this time I've had about a 6-month head start. Just because we feel so good looking at the mountains and the sound and the sunset and the wafting freedom of marijuana smoke doesn't mean we're done yet. We're not even done here yet. What we can do now from here in Seattle is build and develop this industry. So maybe in other states like New Hampshire that are so conservative, live free or die my ass. Huh? Live free or die? What about weed?
Yeah.
That's the point. So even though you've done a lot here, I just want to encourage activism. Why can I say that? Act up. Just act up. Like when you were a kid and you were smoking the weed around behind the garage and you didn't want your parents to find you because you were acting up. So my message, give money to HempFest, lead HempFest to encourage legalization in other states like mine, and with your help, maybe one of these days, in the not too far distant future, cannabis will be a lot like same-sex marriage. It'll be like, yeah, that's right, that's normal. Normal thing. Normal thing. I'm very happy to be here. I'm going to be here again tomorrow on the main stage. I'm going to be talking about how if we talk about the legalization issue as an economic and a jobs and an economic justice and racial justice issue, we might get a little farther a little faster. So I hope you join me tomorrow, 12:30 on the main stage. Thank you very much.
Roger Tilton running for state senate in New Hampshire. New Hampshire, by the way, has the largest state legislature in the United States, something like 400 and some. And keep in mind, there are like 435 representatives in the U.S. House of Representatives. New Hampshire has almost that many in just New Hampshire. Good luck to Roger Tilton. Good luck to all the marijuana supporters out there who are running for office. We've got another one coming up at the bottom of the hour. You'll get to hear from Stephanie Hart Viskovich in Washington State, running in Seattle. But coming up next, we've got our Hemp Day Hump Day update with Doug Fine. So stay tuned.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
How high do you like your profit margin?
CannabisRadio.com.
Great websites today need expert web design and development and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolut, Carlsberg, and Nestea trust Orange Hill Development.
Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com.
Hi, I'm Montel Williams. Most of you know me as a talk show host, but I'm also an author, actor, single father of four, avid snowboarder, and I'm also a medical marijuana patient. Living with multiple sclerosis, I'm in pain every day. Medical marijuana is my last resort, and it helps me when all other drugs have failed. If you'd like more information about medical marijuana, you can contact the Marijuana Policy Project at mpp.org or call 1-877-JOIN-MPP.
The Russ Belville Show, providing dictionaries to drug czars since 2009.
Don't want to spend money on a night out, but don't know what to do other than watching TV or playing video games? Consider playing guitar, bass, banjo, or mandolin. The instrument will give you hours of entertainment with friends with minimal expense. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
Legalization also ushers in the return of the American hemp industry. Get the latest news from the author of Hemp Bound and Too High to Fail, Doug Fine, in our Hemp Day Hump Day update.
Welcome back, everybody. 31 after the hour today for our Hemp Day Hump Day update. We've got Doug Fine in the house. How you doing, Doug?
Oh my gosh, I'm blowing, Russ. It's all good news in the hemp world this week.
Oh, I'm sure there's a ton of it too. So let's spare no moment and get right to it. What are you most excited about over these past couple of weeks?
I guess I'll speak personally first. I'm in the airport now, just heading home after an incredible week. I feel like it's a beginner's luck thing, although my partners in our Vermont Hemp Co-op are so wonderful. They're not beginners as farmers. I brought the hemp knowledge. They brought the seed oil knowledge. They're former sunflower seed farmers. They got all the processing equipment, so we're kind of sitting pretty on the processing end. And we just spent a week in the field. The seeds are starting to form. Some of them are ripe. If you go to my Twitter account, at Organic Cowboy, you can see me popping some fresh seeds and just see this incredible 15-foot plants just going off. 23 acres in Vermont, and three of them are for flowers, so I'm all blistered up from pulling nails in the in the flower side of the operation.
Wow.
So that's great. One other thing I wanted to mention by way of important news for hemsters out there is the USDA has said, I mean, it's the obvious, but we should be jumping up and down about the obvious, that hemp can indeed be certified for USDA organic, so that's big news as well.
Wow, great developments going on. So the state of Vermont's got the 23 acres growing there. What other states do we currently have hemp growing in?
Well, there's now, you know, I think a majority of states. I think we're up to 31 that have some form of hemp legislation. And the way that I look at them now is they're kind of tiers in terms of which are the programs that are somewhat, you know, I think doing the best job for farmers after all, right? We're trying to create a living for farmers who are creating a healthy product, healing the soil and reinvigorating rural economies. And so as I judge them, and this is a fast evolving situation, I would have answered this question differently 2 or 3 years ago. But the best programs right now are the state programs that have the least restrictions to full-on cultivation, even if they don't help the farmers get seed. And the reason is because there is American seed already. Mm-hmm. Last December, in the federal law, transfer commerce between state hemp programs is explicitly permitted, or I should say the Justice Department is explicitly prohibited from expending funds to interfere with interstate commerce.
Right.
There is sort of a footnote to that I'll mention, but just to answer your question, the reason I'm in Vermont, other than that it's beautiful and I like the people, is it's $25 to get a hemp permit, and it's grow all you want, as long as it's under 0.3. Other states are close to that. Colorado has a really, really solid hemp program, plus their state is moving ahead in official certified seed. and allowing certified seed to be developed for hemp. That's important for farmers who want to get things like crop insurance and things like that. Oregon's got a good program. Pretty much everybody who applies is accepted. There's been progress on adjusting nuances in the Oregon program. So that's the top tier programs. Those are the ones I really like the best. And of course, Colorado, Kentucky, Tennessee, Hawaii, there's a bunch of other states where there's real viable hemp programs where farmers either are farming in huge quantity. I met a farmer in Kentucky at a conference this week who is cultivating 2,400 acres of hemp this year, which is more than, you know, all of the U.S. cultivated a few years ago.
Right.
There's a lot happening in a lot of states for us. It's coming on as bigger than we could have hoped.
Well, I've seen in the headlines over the past couple of weeks, New York signed a bill to expand its hemp program. West Virginia has got some studies coming out on how much they could raise from hemp. And even looking internationally, Uruguay, which famously became the first country to legalize recreational cannabis, is now turning to hemp because they're not making enough off the recreational cannabis. It's amazing how this is taking off worldwide.
Yep, and the new York bill, which is a follow-up to their very sort of baby step bill last year, is great. It's a great development, but the real expansion that's going to help farmers there, and it actually matters because we're looking to expand our acreage in our Vermont project, and we can't do it over the border in New York yet because their new bill is contingent upon that change we all need in federal law, which is full commercial legalization.
Yeah, and with Uruguay moving on this, they just cite, of course, in Uruguay, they're looking at selling recreational cannabis for a buck a gram. So maybe that helps explain why they're so interested in the industry of hemp as a way of making a little bit more money.
Yeah, and again, I don't know that for me personally. I mean, I want myself and other farmers to be able to make a living for their families for sure. But for me, the goal isn't necessarily the highest prices. There's a balance there. But the reason why I'm really encouraged about growth on all sides of the plant is a study that was conducted recently by the big Canadian producers, the recently merged Hemp Oil Canada and Manitoba Harvest, that shows that in the U.S., market saturation for hemp, do you have a guess? What percentage of American homes have some kind of hemp product according to their study, Russ?
If we're including lotions and all that kind of stuff, then I don't know, maybe 15%?
I would have guessed something like that or even higher. It's 0.5%.
Oh, wow.
99.5% of the market still has to be reached for hemp. So there is for growth. And so folks listening out there who are in this industry, support. There's no such thing as a competitor yet. We have not even begun to scratch the surface of the market and how big it's going to be.
No kidding. And we're finding more and more of these industrial uses. I was turned on to this article out of Alaska, out on the Kenai Peninsula, and they had Dave Schmidt, who's the chief operating officer of a North Carolina-based industrial hemp manufacturing. He was up there in Alaska giving a presentation on how hemp fibers could be an absorbent for oil spills, and talked about how that could be a helpful application.
Yeah, it's amazing. I've seen some people now that are using just their extra fiber, their extra straw, basically, just lining their livestock corrals with it, and it matches down into this kind of antimicrobial pattern, a powder. So there's incredible, and again, it sounds less astonishing when you think, of course, we've co-evolved with the plant and bred in qualities that are beneficial over 10,000 years of use. The amazing thing would be if we didn't do it. I mean, it's kind of fortunate that there's one plant that's so dang useful on so many fronts, but 10,000 years is a long time to develop a plant. We developed the golden retriever pretty specifically over just a couple hundred years. So
yeah.
I'm less and less surprised. I also want to say one thing about small steps that appear to be small steps backwards. I'll give a couple of examples. After the first, and as far as I know, there are only two. The first two USDA organic certifications that were issued for hemp crops through third-party certifiers. The USDA issued a sort of yield sign, a sort of, wait. We're not sure about this. People in the hemp community were, you know, I guess understandably kind of flipping out about it. And my take was, give me a break. This is just one of these speed bumps. Like, just my message to listeners is, don't tolerate bad policy. And literally just 2 or 3 months later, today or yesterday, the USDA said, oh yeah, okay, it's cool. You can certify crops, hemp crops. So similarly, there was just an awful, awful, unforgivable letter issued last week, signed by U.S. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack, that was explicitly non-binding. They're like, this doesn't mean anything. This letter is not binding, but we just want to tell you what we think right now.
Okay.
And in it were several statements, and evidently it was supposedly a joint consultation with USDA and DEA, but it was, as I read it, it was only signed by the Ag Secretary. There were several of the, I don't know, dozen or so points in this letter that were completely in conflict with federal law, that our representatives have done the job of getting into federal law to support our program. So, for instance, I told you what's really cool is last December, great work by the likes of Earl Blumenauer or Mitch McConnell, those types of hemp supporters, getting a provision in a big spending bill that said, hey, Justice Department, you can't mess with interstate commerce amongst hemp programs.
Mm-hmm.
This letter says, we think transfer of seeds between states is illegal. It's like, well, you're wrong. And but the worst part about it isn't wrong. I mean, it's sad that someone maybe is going to have to defend this in court and stuff it. But it just is what's angering to me about that kind of thing. But first of all, do your research and know your own federal law.
Yeah.
Because you work for us.
Yeah.
Secondly, this crop is only good, and to be arbitrarily making statements that are anything other than supportive of what everyone knows is an awesome thing for the strength of the country. Hemp is listed in the national security, as you probably know this, Russ, national security preparedness plan, like in times of emergency crops that need to be stockpiled. Hemp is included in that list. You can look it up. I wrote about it in HempBound. It's easy to find. And to have these counterproductive statements is extremely angering. But again, it's one of those things where I read that and said, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing, because there's only one destination, which is a massive hemp industry, and we're getting there.
Yeah. It seems like the government, also these executive branch agencies, whether it be Department of Justice, Department of Ag, you know, we saw the same situation with the Rohrabacher-Farr Amendment when they said you can't spend, it was a spending bill, you can't spend money at the Department of Justice, the DEA, to go raiding medical, state legal medical marijuana. And they came back and said, oh yeah, but we don't really think that's what it means. And of course, you know, Dana Rohrabacher is saying, look, I wrote the damn thing. I'll tell you what it means. And it took a court decision finally this last week to, you know, smack that down. It looks like we're probably going to have a similar court battle and court decision to get around on the hemp spending.
I think that's right. I mean, I think it's exactly the same mentality. It's just a bit inexplicable to me. For me, life gets a little bit more sort of easy moralistically to teach when you have young sons, as I do, and it's sort of like there's right and there's wrong in a lot of cases, and I want to just chew someone's ear off for putting out a document like that. But in the end, we win. So,
well, there's a news story up on the Wall Street Journal. It was just posted 5 hours ago, and it's the Commodity Futures Trading Commission that has approved the first exchange for hemp derivatives. There's going to be a hemp derivatives market, trading market, futures market, I guess, based in Chicago. Have you heard of this or any developments relating to this?
Yeah, I met those guys at the NoCo Hemp Expo last year, and you know, that's terrific. There's a lot of guys working on this type of thing for all the forms of cannabis, and that's fine. You know, listen, Russ, I personally, I'm working towards regionalizing and localizing the economy You know, like we here is, forgive me for this big picture philosophizing here, but we as humanity have reached this point where we realize that for all the good that the development of the 20th century allowed, long lifespans and all that, it's not environmentally sustainable. We're killing ourselves.
Yeah.
And part of that is the facelessness of the economy, the fact that when you invest in a stock, it has nothing to do with the Indonesian community where the copper is coming from or whatever. And so for me, for my money, for my investments, I only want to put things forth that I feel are going to be regenerative and are going to be good for the long-term planet. I'm all for making a living for my family. I'm not about, you know, turning this into Cambodia in the 70s. I'm talking about just make a few switches that keep it regenerative. So for me personally, I don't know that such a decision is going to really affect my life, but nonetheless, anything that legitimizes the cannabis plan in any way is good.
Oh, absolutely. Well, Doug Fine, you're headed back. You're in the airport right now, headed back to the Goat Ranch, are you?
That is right. I can't wait to go see the family. And they're, by the way, going to come at harvest time in Vermont. This was just they needed my hands there to pull the mails and give an opinion on when the seed's going to be ready for combining.
All right. Everybody check out Doug Fine on Twitter. He's at Organic Cowboy. You can also check out the website, DougFine.com. Isn't that correct?
That is it, Russ. And another awesome Hemp Day Hump Day. Can't wait for the next one.
All right. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. Have yourself a safe flight. Tell the pilot to do well.
Will do. Thanks.
I always love it when the people say, have a safe flight. I'm like, really, it's not up to me. There's nothing I can do about it, really.
That is so true.
We'll see you, Doug. Talk to you next couple of weeks.
Okay, bye.
That's right. Have a safe flight. Well, I was just kind of sitting there eating my 8 pretzels, but I'll do what I can. Oh, my goodness. Good to speak with Doug, making his way back to the Goat Ranch in New Mexico. When we come back from break, we'll have our final segment of Hour 1, our third pro-marijuana candidate, and our second dyed-in-the-wool marijuana activist, Stephanie Hart Viscovich, running for office in Washington out of a district in Seattle. She's next.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Seed to sale, clicks to conversions, and more. You're listening to the Cannabis Radio Network.
Play as Ted Growing, expelled botany sophomore and the biggest grower in town, only on Weed Firm Replanted. Available on the App Store and Google Play.
It's a lot of work being the biggest grower in town. Maintaining a room full of plants while dealing with a slew of eccentric customers, from a hardcore partier to the curious neighbor next door.
Is anybody home?
Help me expand my bud business by unlocking new strains, customizing my grow room, and completing challenges that you can't get enough of. Grow your empire so big you can see it from space. Low on funds? Don't worry. Weed Firm Replanted is free to download.
Download Weed Firm Replanted for free on the App Store and Google Play today. Get growing, Mr. Growing.
It's time to Hemp Presents
with Inadina Stanger.
I say to you with all the fervor of my soul that God intended men to be free. Rebellion against tyranny is a righteous cause. And I believe that with every ounce of my soul, we are fighting a righteous cause because people need nature.
Marijuana! Hemp Presents, only on Cannabis Radio. Sweet sativa!
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Each year on my birthday, every American gets a cupcake.
Okay, maybe you're high too.
Are you playing an acoustic guitar but want to be louder without an amp? Try a resonator guitar. The fingerboard extension has National Resophonic and other resonators, square necks and round necks. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today. Or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com. Go wild hog in the woods.
Reforming America's marijuana prohibition laws takes education, lobbying, and voting.
From Washington, D.C. to your state capitol to your city hall, marijuana law reform involves all levels of civic life. Learn how you can make your impact with elected officials as we take a look at our government at work.
We go back to Seattle Hemp Fest with Stephanie Hart Viskovich for Washington State Senate.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. Radical Russ backstage at the Sealy stage on a Saturday awaiting the momentous event of 420. If you've never been to 420 on Sealy stage, I highly recommend it. Of course, I do most things highly. Joining me backstage here, we've got Stephanie Viskovich. I'm so happy to see you because for so long we've been doing these events, doing these hemp fests, and urging people to get out there and run for office. And here you are doing it. Tell people the position you're running for, Stephanie.
I am running for state representative in Seattle.
State representative in Seattle. Which particular district for some voters out there?
It is the 46th Legislative District. It pretty much covers from the University of Washington area and most of the western region of Lake Washington up to Juanita.
Okay. So running for this position, what's it been like for you? Have you ever run for office before?
I have never run for office before. My political background has mostly been a citizen lobbyist for the cannabis community. So, you know, one day I just got a wild hair and said, I have to do this. I have to stand up. I have to get involved. Nobody else is going to do it for me.
Yeah.
So let's just do it. What the heck? I made a phone call to another fellow activist of mine, friend of mine, and said, hey, when is the window of opportunity open to actually file as a candidate if you wanted to get involved? And he says, well, you're lucky. This is a Thursday afternoon. He says, it opens next Monday.
Yeah.
You've got 4 days to file.
Wow.
So I think you made up your mind at the right time. I was like, oh, my gosh. Okay. So I literally only had 4 days to prep going into all of this. So luckily, like being involved in the cannabis industry, you don't get a manual or a guide to tell you how to operate or move or maneuver. So you have to think on your toes a lot. And in politics, it's no different. You never know what's going to happen. Things are changing all of the time. And as a first-time candidate, it's, you know, allowed me to enter it very with a flexible perspective and saying, okay, well, this is a huge learning curve for me. And first and foremost, this is about the people. It's about the people that I represent in my legislative district, not necessarily huge corporations, right? And that was a huge portion of what got me inspired to run, because as a lobbyist last year, I went down to Olympia for the Viper Pack, and I was literally turned away from certain state representatives' offices. I will not say who, but because we did not have enough funding. They said, come back when you've got more money. And I said, are you freaking kidding me? Not only am I a lobbyist, but I'm a constituent and I'm a voter.
Yeah.
Do you realize how ridiculous this is? So, you know, as a getting D minus for ethics in Olympia, I figured, okay, well, I'm going to take my my skills as a good Samaritan. I'm going to go forward. I'm going to do this. It's not an easy job, but somebody's got to do it. And, you know, I really care about my community, the cannabis community specifically. I've been calling them my canna family for years.
Yes.
But it goes so much further beyond that, and this has put me in a very public light to where I'm getting approached from different advocacy groups, and I'm getting the opportunity to learn about all of these different subject areas in the community, and, you know, that's a really cool thing to be able to do what you can to help out to make sure that the people are taken care of and heard first and foremost.
Yeah. How is it running for office and working to gain the support of this cannabis industry as far as how much they can be associated with you? I mean, aren't there, you know, restrictions in Washington law that prevent this, or is there any problems for them to endorse you in any way?
No, actually, I can accept endorsements from just about anybody. I did receive a complaint from my opposing, the incumbent. Which is Jerry Paulette. You know, he filed with the PDC. You know, I know she's got a lot of support from the cannabis community. Could she accept campaign contributions from people who are not either filed with the Secretary of State because that doesn't seem likely or what, so on and so forth. But at this point in time, with 502 implemented, most of the current existing businesses are licensed with the Secretary of State. And so if you wanted to, you could make a business contribution, but individuals can also make contributions as well. So gladly accepted it. Where there's a will, there's a way, you know.
Well, a lot of the reporting coming out of Washington State in the wake of Senate Bill 5052, a lot of people are really concerned about the effects on the medical community and how that's being integrated into recreational. What are your plans after you win, of course, to make changes and to improve the situation?
Awesome. Well, they tell you not to make promises, but in a perfect world, what I would like to see is better access for patients. They redefined what medical marijuana really is in Washington State after 5052 was implemented, which is anything less than 0.3% THC. So it's medical so long as it's not marijuana.
Yeah.
And the catch-22 on that is with all of these recreational stores, it has to be at least 0.3% or higher THC by volume to even sell it at a 502 store. So, you know, it's ridiculous to think that we have these medically endorsed recreational stores selling or offering medical cannabis to patients because by law they can't even provide it, nor can they provide them advice. And, you know, there's all of these loopholes that are happening with the Department of Health, and, you know, here's these certificates on how to guide people on what to purchase by not really giving them any advice.
Right.
You know, so there's a lot of work to do still. And I think getting somebody, you know, on the front lines in politics who really comprehends what's going on from a scientific level, who's had a lot of experience with patients in the community, and to see people struggle with all of the bureaucracy loopholes and hoops that they have to jump through.
Yeah.
To get a business going that's even profitable, you know, I'd like to see those things change so more mom-pa shops can survive. And I'd like to see people be able to grow in their backyard and have it be no big deal, too. You know, there just needs to be more access all around. It's all about freedom. But we got to bring a little bit of integrity to the process. And right now, you know, that's lacking.
Yeah. Stephanie Viskovich is running for state representative in Washington State. And tell people how they can help your campaign.
Awesome. Well, endorsements are great. Social media is huge. If you have the ability to get onto Facebook and go to Stephanie Hart Viskovich for state representative and like my page and share it with other people who are fellow cannabis supporters, that would be wonderful. Support and just getting viewed by the community is huge. Also, campaign contributions are huge, too, because you cannot run a political campaign without money, and I hate asking people for money. So, I mean, if you want to donate, that's fantastic. I'm here live at HempFest. I've got a booth. I'm at 494. We're doing an I've Got Five on It campaign contribution. So if anybody really feels jazzed about getting candidates into office that are green friendly, that support the cannabis movement full-heartedly, and you've got $5 to throw down, we are doing an I've Got Five on It campaign. So come by, see us. We're at 494, right next to the main stage and next door to the Leafly booth.
Right on. So look for the Leafly booth. It'll be right nearby there on the main stage area. And how cool would it be, folks, to be able to vote for somebody you like? Somebody, instead of the, oh, I hate the other guy, I better vote. No, you can vote for someone who's on our side, someone who's one of us. I can fully attest that you are 100% in the tribe.
Thank you
so much. And it's so loud behind us, I want to make sure that we get this through. So Stephanie, P-H or F?
P-H.
I or I-E?
I-E.
Hart, E-A or A?
E-A.
Viskovich. V-I-S-K-O-V-I-C-H.
Correct. It's on your button.
Just like
too.
It's spelled. Just like it sounds.
Yeah.
Viskovich.
Viskovich.
Stephanie P-H-A-N-I-E. Hart, H-E-A-R-T. Viskovich. V-I-S-K-O-V-I-C-H. You got it now.
Got it.
I feel like I just won Jeopardy or the Wheel of Fortune, I think. Can I buy a vowel?
Wheel of gorgeous.
All right, we're going to take a break. We got to go, Stephanie, and thanks so much for being here with us.
Absolutely.
And good
my
luck
pleasure.
In your campaign, and anything I can do to help, I'm here for you.
Thank you.
All right. Back to Seattle Hemp Fest. This weed is not going to smoke itself.
Oh, that's right, and we certainly got that weed smoked. Stephanie Viscovich running for state representative, not state senator, my apologies, but running for state representative in Washington State, and she's been there through all the hemp fests, through all the medical marijuana activism and everything. She'd be a great state representative. Check her out, Stephanie Hart Viscovich. Just put Stephanie Hart into Google, you'll probably find her. V-I-S-K-O-V-I-C-H, Viscovich. That's all the time we got for Hour 1. Stay tuned for Hour 2. We got more of the Seattle Hemp Fest highlights, including Jeff Eichen from Lifers the Movie, the Seattle band Furniture Girls with an 80s cover, Joy Beckerman with Washington Hemp information, and the one and only Madeline Martinez. For everyone here at CannabisRadio.com, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belleville Show. The Russ Belleville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.